Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday, and it also happens to be the final show of the year. The final Sports Rage of the year, 2025, coming to a close. And, you know, let's be real, whatever, right? You got fireworks and you've got New Year's resolutions and you've got all that other type of stuff. But 2025, 2026, whatever, 2027, it is what it is. But I'll tell you what, one thing about 2026 that's coming up is we've got some awesome stuff coming up as far as the world and awesome stuff is concerned. In fact, I think it's probably quite the opposite of that. But I should say, if you're a sports fan, we've got some awesome stuff coming up in 2026. And in fact, it doesn't get much better than what we have. If you think about it. So look, like we've got like the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl will be up next. Right. I mean, NFL playoffs start next week. So we go into the Super Bowl. The Olympics start the week of the Super Bowl. Like the Olympics start a couple of days before the Super Bowl does. So we've got the Olympics, a lot of excitement about the hockey and whatever. The Olympics are cool as a whole. And oh, yeah, we've got the World Cup of Soccer in a couple of months. So 2026 is just sort of bombastic as far as sports is concerned. But the Olympics are around the corner right now. And as I stated, I mean, the Olympics start in basically, essentially 5 weeks. We're about 5 weeks away from the Olympics. So Team Canada did their roster reveal for their men's hockey team. And, you know, it's like a dream team, a lot of hype and all that type of stuff about it. And TSN has been pushing this for like the last month, essentially. Yeah, December 31st, the roster reveal, right? It's very similar in the same way you think of like March Madness and the bracket and stuff. Especially in Canada, it's a big deal, right? So they're making this big deal about like this big roster reveal of the Olympic roster, and freaking Fanatics start selling Olympic gear a couple of days ago and basically revealed who was on the team. Now, it wasn't a full reveal from Fanatics, but people kind of knew, like, all right, well, Nick Suzuki made the team. They're selling his jersey. And it was like the most anticlimactic thing ever. And on top of this, I really don't understand how, like, nobody in the effing room said, you know what, just for the appearance of this, that this will look bad and we can't do this, is that they had their roster reveal in Minnesota. Now, I get it. The World Junior Championships are there, and there's a lot of Team Canada executives that are there. But still, nevertheless, none of the players were there. They're all in the NHL, and the coaches weren't there, etc. So you didn't have to do it there, right? I think that was a TSN thing because TSN is cheap and they don't have multiple crews and all this type of stuff. But it's just amazing to me that for the Olympics and Team Canada's roster, that they had the roster reveal in the United States. Like, we're in an era right now where everyone's like, all right, shop local, keep the money and all that type of stuff. So think of all the money that they spent on hotel rental fees, ballroom fees, hotels, blah, 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 blah. In St. Paul to reveal Team Canada. You think the USA, like the USA is revealing their roster Friday on the Today Show, NBC on the morning show. Do you think that they would say, yeah, you know what? We're going to do this out of Edmonton or out of Toronto. They would be like, no, we're an American team. We're going to do it out of an American city. Team Canada, well, whatever. And nobody really brings it up. I think I'm the only one that's really brought that up. About like just how it's a slap in the face. It's stupid. And it just goes to show the tone deafness of the the Hockey Canada brass, who make a lot of money and don't stay in Motel Sixes. So for them, it's like, yeah, whatever. The more trips, the better. Right. I'm surprised they didn't say, you know what, let's announce the team in Switzerland. And well, we have to go to Switzerland for the announcement. Right. Like, they are bad, bad. Like, Hockey Canada, nobody really knows where the money goes. And they don't do anything for junior hockey. Not for junior hockey, like for kids hockey. For like minor league hockey. Like, you know, seriously. Like, Hockey Canada will give you this crap about, oh, yeah, you know what? We support kids and we do this and that. All right, where? Where? When? I've been around a long time. I've never seen, like, I never saw once ever once in my lifetime, oh, Hockey Canada has a free hockey camp for kids. Oh, Hockey Canada is giving equipment away. I've never seen that. I've seen a lot of stories about, oh, Hockey Canada covered up a sexual assault and paid off a $12 million lawsuit and didn't tell anybody about it. You know, Hockey Canada paid like over $100 million in under-the-table payoffs and settlements. I know about that. But, like, no one knows, like, where the money goes. Like, they're not a public – like, Hockey Canada is, like, one of the biggest scams going, in the sense that – they play up like, oh yeah, we're Hockey Canada, and hey, we're all one, and yeah, we're the national hockey program, but they're not, right? They're actually like a private program. Like, there's no audit, there's no, like, you know what I mean? If you're a public program, right? If you're a public program, then technically I could say, you know what, I want to see the books. Like, we pay for this, the public pays for the hockey team, so what's the budget? Where does the money go? How much money are you spending on hotels? How much money are you spending at strip clubs under, like, miscellaneous? Like, how many massages have you guys gotten? Like, I'm dead serious. Like, you want to talk about, like, just wasteful spending. Look at Hockey Canada. And as I stated, and I'm not young. Never seen once in my life, hey, Hockey Canada has this great thing going on for kids. Never. Like I said, I see Hockey Canada has their little meetings in Lake Louise and in Banff. And I know that Hockey Canada likes to stay in five-star hotels. It's the same thing with soccer, the Canada soccer. Canada soccer, turned out the executives were making like $2 million a year. They're making $2 million a year. And the Soccer Canada was so cheap, they told, like, the players, this is the only tracksuit that you're going to get all year, so you better take care of it. Like the kids on the Oregon Ducks have more clothes than, like, a player on the National Canadian Soccer Team. And they only do it because they love their country and they love the game. But, like Alphonso Davies, guys, plays for Bayern freaking Munich, man. And he gets treated like he's on the Akron Zips when he plays for Team Canada. Hockey Canada is different. They go first class for themselves, right? I just can't help but, like, you know, I can't just help but, like, see what I saw. I was like, you guys are doing a Hockey Canada reveal in Minneapolis or St. Paul. You got to be kidding me. Think about, like, all the money that was spent that could have been spent at a Canadian hotel with Canadian workers and all this type of stuff. There is a trade war going on now, right, jackasses? You are Hockey Canada. Like, I'm blown away by this. I want to get to the roster, but I'm blown away by where they did this. In that, just let me put it in context, because I know a lot of Canadians don't care about anything unless, like, whatever somebody tells you to care about it. I'll put it in this context. Do you think in a million years that Bill Guerin would say, you know what, let's have our USA hockey reveal on the Today Show, but let's do it out of Calgary. let's have them come to us and let's go do it in Montreal. People would say, well, Mr. Guerin, why would we have the roster reveal in Canada when we are Team USA? And he would say, that's a very good point. And I was just kidding, because it's a stupid idea. Well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's the little things that drive me crazy about Team Canada, what they do. It's just their, I love the players. I hope they win. And, well, I should say I like the NHL players, whatever. Or I like my grandfather. But, like, yeah, you know, like I said, a lot of this stuff, it rubs me the wrong way. What, how they handle things and the money that they spend, their arrogance, their secrecy. It's like they have their own Epstein file type of thing. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, there's a file right now in a safety deposit box in Toronto under a fake name that Hockey Canada has a lot of dirt on a lot of people. Like, they can ruin everybody. Like, if they, like, there's somebody in Hockey Canada can say, oh, God, man, I could tell you stories. But hockey's weird like that, where other sports, the media sort of, like, tries to expose things. It's like, ah, it's my job to expose things. The hockey media, their job is to cover things up, right? They all know everything, but they don't tell you anything, right? Like, they know everything about, oh, yeah, this guy's cheating on this, and this guy's actually, like, a, you know, he sleeps with underage girls, or this coach is that, and but they won't tell you because they want to be part of it. They want to, like, do it and stuff like that, right? And one of the funniest things, I've told the story before, we used to do shows with Ludzie, and Steve Ludzik, longtime NHL vet and stuff like that. And you'd get real stories from him, although he wouldn't do them on the air fully, right? But, like, you get real stories from him just about, like, just how crazy it actually is. Like, one team he was with, he got a call. It was, like, 2 a.m. And he said, he goes, every time my phone rang, I knew it was bad. He goes, like, it was too funny. He said, man, every time my phone rang, I thought I was either, I was like, oh, boy, I'm about to get fired. Or I was like, what happened now? What did one of my players do? And he said, like, the team was out of control. Like, a lot of guys were partying too much. They weren't very good. And he said he got a call from a strip club. And basically a bunch of players racked up, like, big bills at a strip club. They got into a fight with the bouncers. They didn't want to pay and blah, 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 blah. And, like, it turned into a big debacle and stuff. So Ludzie had to actually get out of bed and everything at the hotel and actually go to the strip club. And the general manager was there with them. And the general manager owed like $23,000. And Ludzie said, like, how the F do you owe a stripper $23,000 for a night? And he basically said, well, you know, we were just drinking and, you know, she was sitting on my lap and we were just talking. He said, I didn't even do anything. We were just talking. And Ludzie said, how long did you talk for? And he said, I don't know, a couple hours. The songs were running. And he's such an idiot that, like, basically he didn't realize. He thought this general manager, these are the people that are making trades, people, and running Hockey Canada and Hockey USA. I'm not going to name the names, but, like, big time people. He thought, Ludzie said, you know, they charge by the song. And he said, no, I didn't get any dances or anything like that. We were just basically talking. And Ludzie said, well, they don't talk for free. And he said, how long? And it turned out it was like $22,000-$23,000. And the line was at the end, Ludzie, like, told the general manager, like, God, you're stupid. Like, how could you do this? How could you be so dumb? And he told him, I thought she liked me. I thought she liked me. He thought that she was talking to him just as a girl in a bar and not a stripper that was charging him per song. It was literally, I swear to God, guys, I saw that, like, it's too funny. This stuff happens all the time, man. I saw the same, not the same thing, because I'm not going to say they didn't want to pay, because I think they paid, but, like, it was the New York Islanders, and this one I'll throw under the bus, because I don't like personal stories and stuff. I got in trouble recently about this, so I like about that, but whatever. I don't know Travis Green and stuff, but I always thought it was funny, but, like, when I was younger, I was in Montreal, and the Islanders were really bad. They were playing the Canadiens on a Saturday, and it was Wanda's, which is a popular establishment with athletes. There's Chez Perret and there's Wanda's. Chez Perret is the more mainstream one. Wanda's is a little edgier for the players that like it a little edgier. So the Islanders were at Wanda's on like a Friday night, and they were like lit the F up, man. And I'll never forget, I went into the bathroom and Travis Green came in, and he basically was like so drunk, but like kind of NHL player drunk. Like, it's hard to explain. You got to know like NHL players kind of like, and their arrogance type thing. Like, so he basically thought, I'm Travis Green, I'm an NHL player, I'm a New York artist. So he was kind of like, he was upsetting the security in the club. So it was sort of like, all right, they got an eye on him type thing. But like, he came in and he sort of like, I looked over at him and I don't know, all I said is, you know, good luck tomorrow, Travis, or something. And right away he went into, what the F did you say to me? I said, good luck tomorrow, man. That's all I said. I sort of said, good luck against the Habs tomorrow. And like, and he sort of muttered, yeah, yeah, F off or something. And I thought, like, what a jerk. I was like, man, what a jerk. And like, then I was watching him and I actually thought it was funny because he was wasted and he was throwing money everywhere. And like, he's all drunk and all the Islander players sort of stumble and they kind of got asked to leave, like in a forceful manner. Like, he didn't get like beat up or anything, but I'll never forget. Like, I remember like these two big dudes went up to like the Islander table and basically said, all right, you know, show's over type thing, you know, time to pay your bill and go. They had enough type thing. And I always, and we'll bring Cam Stewart in, I've always gotten a kick out of it that this guy's an effing head coach now. Like, so like, yes. I always love that in the NHL, like these guys where it's like, I know him. I know he's a psycho. You know, I told you about my uncle, whatever, your strength and conditioning coach. Like, he's a psychopath. Like, that's why hockey, the culture is what it is all the time. It'll never change because they hire from within. And hockey people are way crazier than people you can even imagine. Like, they're just, they're big kids, kind of. Like, they're not all horrible people. They're horrible husbands. Like, they're horrible fathers. They're, you know, they're kind of like big, just sort of kids. Like, they're big, like frat boys. I guess that's the best way of putting it. Like NHL general managers still, like they live in like a midlife crisis type thing. Right. And they go to the strip club and they hang around a young girl, whatever. Like, but I will say the younger players in the NHL aren't like they were before. They really don't. And I know I'm not going to be completely naive and think like, oh, no, they're all choir boys, but they really don't. You can tell, Cam, by the shape that they're in. Like, Austin Matthews isn't partying every night. Like, they're not. Like, Mitch Marner parties and stuff, but he's not, like, a full-out degenerate. Like, you know, like you were talking about, like, the old guys, like, guys, I'll tell you, like, the Shane Corsons, the Darcy Tuckers. Like, those guys would, like basically sleep with your wife in front of you and then try to beat you up after. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, whatever. Get the F out of my way. Like, you know what I mean?
What?
Like, they act like they were like presidents of countries. Like, guys, yes. you're a third liner in the NHL.
Another thing, Gabe,
in a diner once, Cam, like in Montreal, yeah. Where of the players, it was like the morning drunk place. Like, it's where I had breakfast with Gretzky and stuff. Yeah, I was with a couple of girls and I'm there and I went to the bathroom and I came back and Shane Corson and Peter Savoda like stole my seat and sat with the girls I was with.
Of course.
And like, so like there was, so I'm standing there like an idiot, but the only thing is I liked them. I was big fans. I was a big fan. And I like Corson because I knew he was a psycho. And it was in they were losing to the Bruins. It was even in the playoffs. So like they were out getting wasted during the playoffs. And like, I sort of said, hey, what's up guys? And I maneuvered, I got him out of there, but I ended up getting into it with Savoda a little bit. I basically said, hey, you know what? I said, maybe if you guys spent less time here, we wouldn't be down 2-0 or whatever. I said something about like,
I love it. You come out like Peter Savoda.
Corson sort of chuckled and said, yeah, whatever. Like he sort of laughed. Savoda was like, oh, you don't think we're trying? And I was like, dude, whatever, bro. I was like, I was really in there. I sort of jumped. Aren't you guys married? Then I sort of got like, aren't you married anyways? Dude, I can tell you a story. Like I said, I won't name one guy, but guys on the Canadians, whatever. Tuckers and Corsons and these guys. They actually got smart, Cam. They were getting ratted out so much. And they were seeing so much. Like, on Crescent Street and like down, like Montreal is not that big. Montreal is a big city in which whatever, there's 4 or 5 million people there now. 4 million. What is it? It's like big, but it's not, it's
everyone
like a
knows
big,
what you're doing.
It's a big, small city.
Yeah.
Like Toronto is freaking spread out. Like, I guess this is what's the best way of putting it. Like there's a lot of people in Montreal. Like, it's bigger, even bigger than I remember. It's like, there's like over 4 million people there now, whatever. Like it's actually like the seventh or ninth biggest market in the, in North America now, but whatever. So it's big, but it's dense. It's an island. It's a lot like New York, I guess is the best way of putting it. It's a lot like New York. So it's an, Montreal is an island. Île de Montréal, like it's an island, Montreal. So people don't really realize that Montreal is an island. So Montreal is an island. It's very dense. There's a lot of people. So you're very sort of compressed, right? Like Toronto, there's like 10 million people, but Toronto's like the size of Texas, like essentially. Like you fly into Toronto and you're like, oh my God. Like it's like bigger than New York, like as far as geography. Like it's just so spread out and massive. But Montreal, whatever, dude. Like the bars are all like in a 4-block radius. So like if you're on the Montreal Canadiens, every bartender and any bar fly and drunk is gonna know what you do every day. So they caught on, Cam, and they just bought their own bar. So they bought they bought a place, but they didn't tell people that they owned it.
Brilliant.
And why could they do that? Well, they were in control now suddenly, right? And they could stay open and they could like they were in complete control of the place. But they used to lock it up and stuff and like at 3 o'clock, but they would really keep going after. And one of their wives came and actually like took like a big, like basic, like a hammer, smashed through the bar window and stuff to catch them cheating. It's something like there's other stuff too. Like, and even I'm guilty of it because I know stuff about some guys, but some guys I like, and I'm like, nah, I like that guy. I'm not going to tell people about that story. Like,
Gabe, you're so right. And the thing is, like, I remember when like things changed when I was covering the Leafs and the Ottawa Senators are on the bike, and that was kind of the end of the party era. And then you talk about the
I think why the bike was invented, Cam, to sweat out the beers.
Yes,
the drinks.
That's right.
The Wade Reddicks, like who was the guy that was the he was always like
that's a good
he seemed sort of sweaty. He was like, yeah, all right, yeah. Like, I think it really was.
Yeah.
Like hockey guys, like hockey teams accept you drinking. Like it's acceptable. Like the coach will like it's part of culture. It's like drinking water. Like if you're it's like I told a story with about my boy with Burke. When they drank like 74 beers on a boat, and Burke told him, beer's not drinking. It's the same thing as drinking a soda.
Best. He goes, boys, are we ready to go out tonight?
Not drinking. Yeah, and then he got back to they got back to the cabin, and he pulled out a bunch of liquor, and he goes, this is drinking. Yeah, but that was hockey people believe that. Like Burke basically like swore on a grave about that. They had a big debate. Beer is not drinking.
I love your buddy though. Hey, we just had 30 beers. He's like, beer? That's not drinking. Let's get drinking with brown oil.
With Burke. Yes, and Burke and the play-by-play guy Shorthouse of the Canucks. My buddy was working with the Canucks and they invited him fishing. And they said, hey Jerry, bring your own booze though. Well, you gotta bring some booze out there. So my buddy brought like 12 beers. He brought a case of 12.
He brought 12 beers.
So like for himself, like for the fishing. And he got there and Shorty and Burke literally had like 4 cases of 24 each. There was literally like 84 beers on the boat. And Burke told him, I told you to bring your own booze. And like Burke kind of told him, we're not sharing with you, hey, Jerry. Yeah, like this is all we got. Like, so like these two guys, these hot old hockey guys basically drank like, you know, 30 beers each during a little fishing outing, like just like nothing. And then they got back. They said, all right, they got back. And my buddy told me too. He goes, I got seasick and I was throwing up and stuff. And Burke told him, don't worry, Jerry, I came close to throwing up myself out there. Like, it's funny. Like, so they get back and Burke goes, all right, we'll meet up and we'll go into town and we'll get some drinks. And, you know, and Burke busted out. And my buddy was like throwing up and all drunk and everything. And like, Burke is like laughing and told him, man, we didn't even start drinking yet. And like, and Burke busted out a bunch of bottles. He goes, this is drinking. I guess you would sort of agree with that. I don't think beer.
Yeah, beer's all right.
Beer isn't fully drinking. Like the show Landman, Billy Bob Thornton's a recovering alcoholic, Kevin. he drinks beer, like he orders beer in a restaurant, and the bartender goes, I thought you were an alcoholic. And he goes, that's why I'm ordering a beer. He drinks the beer.
That's fucking too.
And he says the same thing. He's like, beer isn't drinking. It's like soda. Like, a lot of people feel that way. Like, hardcore drunks feel that way, Kim.
I don't want to say I'm a hardcore drunk. I don't think it's totally true, but beer is like, you don't get into much trouble.
Yeah, like, if you drank a bunch of vodka at somebody's last night, and I said, did you drink last night? You couldn't say no. Be like, yeah, I drank a bottle of vodka. Yeah, I drank. If you drank a six-pack or 12 beers, you're not going to say, oh, I drank last night. You'd be like, no, I just sort of had a couple of beers, like having a couple of Pepsis.
Exactly, Gabe.
You're like Kurt's drinking a Pepsi.
You're right. It's like it's a light Pepsi. But I'm going to say, remember when we did those shows at Wayne Gretzky's too, and you said it, those old school guys that you talked about, Yvon Lambert, like he worked for the beer company. Gabe, I saw guys come in when I did that show with Coolius and threatened to kill the manager of Gretzky's because they didn't have the money. He's like, why don't I just take another case of your wine or do this? Like, they were doing bartering and stuff like that. Like, these old school guys, they
Yvon Lambert was next level, though.
Oh, he's next level drinker. That's great.
Like, those old guys, if anyone tuning in thinks, you can...
No, you can't.
Like, nobody can really outdrink me and Cam in that sense. Like I'm not going to get drunk under the table. I might get really wasted and become a jerk, or I might, like, do crazy things, but I'll keep going. You know what I mean? I can go for days, like, you know, literal days. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but like I said, I'm a metal. Like, I'm like a walking, talking Lemmy. But even I would not, like, there's no way in hell I would be able to keep up with Yvon Lambert.
No, the guy, didn't he work? You told me he was like the beer rep, and every day his job is to drink with people. So
he owned the tavern. He managed the tavern in the Montreal Forum. And yeah, he was the Molson beer ambassador.
Amazing.
All he did every day was go to golf tournaments and drink and tell people stories about his goals. His face was redder than the Canadiens jersey, man. Like, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. He was with us at Trophies once. We did a show.
Yep.
He drank like at least 30 beers in a couple hours. And you would not have been able to tell. Like, it was, you know, he had a red face kind of, and like, the only way with Yvon, you could tell he drank, he got more touchy-feely with the girls as the night went on. Like, it started out as, like, thank you to the waitress to, hey, why don't you sit on my lap and let me tell you a story about me and Guy Lafleur, like, you know what I mean? Like, he got, like, more, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, really funny, like, I mean, even Yvon Lambert, I remember he was like 30 beers deep and stuff, and I saw him drinking, and he said, you know, Gabrielle, I might work for Molson, but sometimes I need some harder stuff. And he was drinking the hard stuff. Like,
that's the best.
He was drinking the hard stuff at the bar. Because I remember Yvon, I remember he was like, I got to go now. He goes, I have drank enough. I got to go so I could drive. And I looked up, and it was like 3 hours later, and he was still there. Like, he was over at the bar now talking to the waitress. He's never really left. Like, Yvon Lambert is great. But, so long story short, the hockey guys are all crazy. So the Team Canada roster reveal has been done. And there's really no surprises for the most part. And listen, Team Canada, they're so deep and there's so much, you know what I mean? Whatever, dude. Like, we're really just, he should have been this guy instead of that guy. Well, you want to argue about Scheifele or a Bo Horvat or whatnot. But for the record, Connor Bedard is not on the Team Canada Olympic roster. And I think, Cam, even if he didn't get hurt, I don't think they were going to put him on the team.
I got to tell you too, Gabe, I think the Blackhawks understand with the future, like, it's one of those things, like, he is banged up and they're like, no, screw this. Like, this kid's our meal ticket too. So I think a lot of the time there's a written or an unstated rule that, you know, that certain players are going to go, but I'm with you. And you brought up a great point.
I don't think the Blackhawks didn't want him to go, Cam.
You think he's blackballed because he didn't go to the world?
Not blackballed, but sort of a combination of everything. Mm-hmm. But if I'm the Blackhawks, Cam, I actually love it. Like you said, I don't think the Blackhawks are like, oh, no, yeah, we'd be uncomfortable. Like, he'll be back. It's not that serious of an injury, whatever. So, like, he's going to be back. But if you're the Blackhawks now, Cam, if Bedard doesn't make the team. Now, don't forget, guys, someone could get hurt, right? And he could get in. He could be like an alternate. He could still be on the team. So I don't want to overreact by this. But imagine you got to piss off Bedard now, Cam, if you're the Blackhawks for the second half of the season.
Exactly.
Didn't make the team. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I think, like I said, guys, the injury, I think, was kind of an easier out for them. And I'm not insulting Bedard at all. He's had a hell of a year. He really has. Like, he's exceeded expectations this year. He's raised the level of his game to a new superstar type of level, to a star level, you know, quasi superstar level, etc. But there's not room for everybody, right? As good as he is, you're not better than Nate McKinnon. You're not better than Connor McDavid. You're not better than Sidney Crosby. Like, Canada is that deep. And we didn't have room for, like, two sort of smaller kid players like Celebrini and Bedard. There was only really kind of room with one of them. And I know people don't really get to see the San Jose Sharks play that much. Hell, I don't, unless you're a DJ and you go out of your way to watch them. But I do see them because they play the Canucks all the time. Right? They're in the same division with the Canucks. So I've seen the Sharks like two times. In fact, they're playing again in 2 days or whatever. I see the Sharks all the time. And Celebrini is crazy good. Like, not just good, good. Like, Connor Bedard, they're different players. You know what? Like, I guess, like, a comparison.
Celebrini's better, Gabe. He's an all-around player. Like, you notice him. You know what it is? I notice Celebrini the way I notice Nathan McKinnon when he plays. He's always there. He's always.
Well, he's basically a Sidney Crosby Jr. He's amazing. Macklin Celebrini. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Bedard is flashy, and Bedard is super skilled. It's crazy, like, what Bedard has done this year. But his game, like you just said, Cam, his game is not well-rounded, Bedard. He doesn't go into the corners much. He does more now. Like, his all-around game was bad before Bedard. He was just sort of, like, floating around and sort of, like, trying to figure it out. All right, what can I do and what I can't do? Now Bedard, he fights along. They call it the wall. I hate that, but boards. He's good along the wall and the board area. He's gotten better at it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But the thing is, like, Celebrini is already good at everything, which is kind of crazy for a 19-year-old. Like, I saw, like, the other night, like I said, it just played the Canucks, and it was nuts. Like, dude, the guy had, like, 13 shot attempts. Like, basically, like, every time the puck was bouncing around, boom, he'd shoot it. Like, he sets people up. He shoots. He scores. He's a little, like, Sidney Crosby type. Like, he's not the biggest kid, but, man, like, he's got those thick sort of thighs and hips, Cam. Like, that's sort of like, you don't move this kid. They showed him, I think it was Bieksa, did a little thing with Macklin Celebrini at the faceoff circle about how, like, most guys, if they don't win the initial faceoff, they'll sort of give up on it. Like, Celebrini, they showed it in slow motion the other day. Like, he actually missed it at first and won the faceoff on, like, coming backwards, like, after, which is almost impossible. Like, basically, like, he's Sidney Crosby. Like, he's going to be, like, Macklin Celebrini is going to be, like, the next Sidney Crosby, where it's going to be like, yeah, he does everything, and he's just an all-around awesome stud. Yeah. And, you know, Bedard's more of that flashy, yeah, I'm going to get 120 points one of these years type of deal. They're both great, but there wasn't room for all of them. But he could still make it. But this is Team Canada, Macklin Celebrini, Anthony Cirelli, who's not having a great year, but John Cooper likes him. And he was on the Four Nations team.
Well, that's my whole point, Gabe. I just want to say one thing from an optic standpoint. Cirelli, and take a look at Braden Point's numbers, and he's been awesome. Like, he's actually one of my favorite players, but he's a minus player on the Tampa Bay Lightning. He has 6 goals.
Yeah, so, but we're not.
I know, but the point that I'm trying to make is I don't want to nitpick, but the optics from John Cooper coaching the Tampa Bay Lightning and having 3 Lightning players on the team, you get my drift where I'm going from? Like, I'm not going to nitpick because they're all great, but I'm just saying that's the argument that you can make when there's a couple very, very good players that are left off and he has 3 two of the 3 players are not having great years.
No, but it's not about just this year, right?
Yeah.
It's about what you're going to do in a big game and in a big picture, but no, it's a good point. that there's a lot of them. And on the flip side, Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers does not make the team. That is somewhat of a surprise. Basically, I saw Dreger talking. I respect Dreger. A lot of these guys are idiots, but Dreger, I like Dreger. Dreger basically said about like the construction of the roster that John Cooper was almost non-negotiable. That essentially anybody that was on the Four Nations team was on the team automatically. That he's that loyal. That basically Cooper told them, we're not bumping anybody. Right? I don't want to bump anybody. Right? So I don't know what happened with Bennett. I don't want to bump anybody. And then they brought up about how that Cooper was the one that was adamant about Celebrini, blah, 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 blah. But like, so, you know, there's a couple of tweaks here. Like, so for, as I was saying, the roster, Celebrini, Sorelli, Crosby, Brandon Hagel, Bo Horvat, who's playing really well, but that one surprised me. Nate McKinnon, Brad Marchand, Mitch Marner, Connor McDavid, Braden Point. Like, Marner's not having a great year per se either, but he was on the Four Nations team and he scored a goal and a big goal and they trust him. And Mitch Marner can play like two ways and stuff too. He's not the greatest at it, but you know what I mean? Like,
he's
Mitch
getting
Marner,
better all. He's good.
He's a great skater, Cam. So he can fly around and he can take up space. And yeah, he's better than Matthews at it. Connor McDavid, Braden Point, Sam Reinhart, Mark Stone. That was another one too. I would have Bennett instead of Stone.
Stone's Nick a good Suzuki. Finisher. He's a good finisher in big games. He can score goals.
They needed a couple of grinders and sort of leader type. Well, they got leaders, but you know what I mean. They wanted a couple of sort of grinder types. Nick Suzuki, who they don't like because Nick Suzuki never plays for Team Canada, but they didn't have a choice. He was just too, he's too good. They had to put him on the team. And finally, Tom Wilson finally gets on the team, which I agree with.
He's having a great year, Gabe.
It is the Olympics, Wilson, Cam.
Wilson's good. He scores and
fights.
Wilson's
really good. He's skilled.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
And the thing with the Olympics is it's not the NHL where it's overly physical, but you still need physical guys. Like, it's not – this isn't the All-Star game. Like, they're still body checking. And not just checking, but defense, taking up lanes, size. And I got to be honest with you, between USA and Canada, I wouldn't be surprised if they fought. The Tkachuk brothers are a bunch of goons, right? I mean, these kids, they might start something – I don't have a problem. You need a couple of tough guys on the team, and Tom Wilson's definitely a tough guy. But like you said, Cam, he's got skilled hands, too. He can play hockey, this guy. He's good.
He's getting better all the time. Like, I watch, like, they put demo reels together of Wilson, Gabe. He does finishes checks, scores. You know what? And how many times he, like, keeps plays alive. And that's the whole thing. Tom Wilson's game has evolved.
He's less dirty, if you'll notice.
Yes, he's gone from this.
He hasn't cheap-shotted people in a couple of years.
And he's really solid. Like, he's just, like, he's a guy, like, he does a lot of things well. Like, I definitely put him on the
team. I think it was more, like, hockey players, his friends, kind of told him, listen, Tom, you're a really good player, and you're tough as hell, but... like, you're not getting the respect because people think you're a cheap shot artist. And I don't know if it's fully fair, Cam. It's just because he's tougher than you. He's sort of like, it looks like he's ragdolling you. But you remember what he did? I don't know if you remember. He ragdolled Panarin once, like a couple of years ago. Like, Panarin was minding his own business in the corner during a scrum, and Wilson just came in and grabbed him by the jersey and kind of threw him to the ice. Like, but kind of like a wrestler. Like, it was ugly. Like, he just, like, it was like, dude, like, number one, what are you doing? Like, number two, you can't you don't do that. Like, Tom, like, if you're Tom Wilson, you want to fight someone, go up to what's the kid? The Rempe kid or whatever. Yeah, go up to the kid, whatever. Don't go ragdoll Panarin. Like, and people like Panarin. He's a nice guy. Like, what are you doing? Like, Wilson, and, you know, Wilson used to sort of, like, you know, knee-on-knee stuff, Cam. He was big on that. Let's just call it off for what it is. He was a dirty son of a bitch. And I think he realized, I'm not going to make Team Canada. Sort of like Brad Marchand, Cam. Here's a good example. Brad Marchand was the same thing. Biggest asshole ever. No one liked him. Like, dude, Brad Marchand, like, licked people, spit on people, bit people.
His tribute last night was the best. Like, you son of a bitch. You face-licking
footies. Oh, yeah, exactly. Like
hey, Marchand, you jerk.
Yeah, like, he was, like, known as the biggest a-hole ever. But he was good. And he wanted to make Team Canada. Always comes back to Team Canada. He wanted to make Team Canada. And Marchand's from like the same area as MacKinnon and Crosby are. And Crosby and Brad were not friends. They didn't hang out in the same circles. They were different. Marchand drinks and Crosby doesn't, and like whatever. And plus they were rivals. But Crosby's cool. If you want to work out with him and you put the work in and you're an NHL player, you can go work out with him. So Brad basically said, listen, I know we don't like, you know, I know you don't like me, but I really want to make Team Canada and I want to become a better all-around player. And I know you can help me do this. Can I come work out with you and Nate? And Crosby said, all right, but I'm telling you now, if you're a jerk, you're gone. If you're this, you're gone. If you don't take it seriously, you don't show up at 5 a.m., you're gone. Like, so, and you see Marchand's much more respected now. He's on Team Canada. People are, and he'll notice Brad doesn't do the sleazy things he does. He still plays hard, Cam, but he won't bite you now. You don't have to worry about, oh, Marchand spit on somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to worry about that now. You'll notice with Tom Wilson. It's been like 2 years, Cam, where it's not like, because it was bad a couple of years ago. He was like a reckless, out of control. He was sort of like a guy that was just like, bigger than everyone and played harder. It was like, dude, like you're playing too hard almost. Like, you got to chill out. Like,
you said you're such good things about Sidney Crosby. What kind of guy in any sport is like, you know, you're a rival. You're on the Panthers. I play for the Penguins. No, it's cool. Like, that's the thing about Crosby. He's just that good of a guy. Like, it's just, Gabe, when you meet him too, great call by you. I've been in rooms and you've been in a million too. I looked at his legs. They're the size of redwoods. It's like you talked about, like you talked about Celebrini's legs. I looked at Crosby's legs. Like, literally, you take an axe to his legs and the axe would get bent. They're so huge. They're like massive. Like, it's wild. Oh,
literally,
man,
I think you could break a baseball bat on his thigh before his thigh would hurt.
Correct.
It would hurt him, but the bat would break.
It would. Like, it would break. It would break hard.
Like, if Crosby was in a mixed martial artist and he put you in some sort of leg lock, you'd be
dead. Oh, yeah, you're so done. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And Gary Roberts, I remember, because he was the strength
and conditioning. He's the one who started it all, Cam. Yeah, Roberts is the guy that started all this.
I remember he used to, when I was fat, he's like, hey, Cam, you want another hot dog? That's what he used to say to me in the room. Like, no, Gary, can I have a shake?
Roberts was hardcore. Like, people used to ask, hey, Gary, can I work out with you? And he just tell you couldn't handle it. No.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be, no. Like, you can't. No. but the old guys, like, I remember I had Bernie Nichols on.
I love Bernie Nichols.
And I asked him, we were talking about working out, like the strength and conditioning. And he told me, he goes, Gabe, I played in the Inglewood Forum for 8 years. He goes, I don't know where the weight room is.
Dude, the guy used to take it apart. Yeah, he's from like Halliburton, Ontario. My parents had property.
Said, no, he goes, he said their workout. He goes, my workout with the Kings. He goes, you remember those exercise bikes where there was a sort of the force, like, you know what I mean? The CCM bike.
Yeah.
He goes, I would do that in training camp.
the one with the little tape on it?
He said, I never lifted a weight once in my entire career. Remember Mike Bossy, same thing. He's like, I weighed 160.
He smokes
cigarettes a pack a day. He goes, I never lifted a weight in my life. That's what he told me.
That's amazing.
Never would lift a weight. Because he told me, he goes, I would get killed playing in today's NHL. That's what Bossy told me. Rest in peace.
It's very true.
Honest. He didn't say, oh, yeah, because he told me. He goes, oh, our Islander team would lose to the worst team in the NHL now. And he's right. Like, the size. Wayne Gretzky was pretty fast, but Gretzky would get murdered if he played today.
Oh, for sure he would.
Like, that's the big difference. Gretzky didn't get touched. Like, you weren't allowed to touch him. There was like a code. In the old days, there was a code in the NHL. Don't touch the star player. Nobody ever touched Guy Lafleur. Like, it was basically, you're going to get killed if you do. And everyone liked him. And it was like, it was a different era then. It was weird. Like, the goons would fight each other, but it was a real sleazeball move to attack. Like, you didn't attack the other team's star player. It was like they were untouchable. So Team Canada, it's basically a Four Nations team, a couple of additions. Team USA is going to reveal it on Friday. So this is our final podcast of the year. Me and Cam will be on New Year's Day during the Texas Tech and the Oregon game. So NFL football, Cam, I am amazed that your Seattle Seahawks are 1.5-point road favorites in San Francisco. I don't understand this.
It's a crazy
line. I like Seattle. I think Seattle are a great team. I love McDonald. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I told people coming into the year they had a great camp. I could feel it. I liked what they were doing. I liked the changes when they left Geno Smith and Metcalf. I told you and everyone, I said, no, They're going to be better off. They know what they're doing. Like they know what they're doing. But San Francisco are freaking good, Cam. And you never beat San Francisco. They own you. And your favorite in San Francisco. It's crazy.
I like Seattle, but the line is total disrespect to San Francisco. It's flipped. Seattle was +1.5, now -1.5. You said it. It's kind of crazy. San Francisco's a hot team. I think the reason it is this way, Gabe, is because of the defense. San Francisco kind of got shredded, and that's the whole thing. Like, you could score on their defense. That's their Achilles heel. McCaffrey, though, he looks good. Brock Purdy's on fire. They have a lot of weaponry. But Seattle's defense, despite playing pretty bad against Carolina, you saw the game. They bailed them out. Sam Darnold didn't play great. The offense was a little bit spotty, but that's why Seattle's favorite, I think. And I don't think they're going to be afraid to go on the road. I like the Seahawks in this spot. I think they win the game, but the line is total disrespect to the Niners getting points at home.
So your pick, you're going to stick with your guy,
yeah, and it's not even a homer pick. Like, I love this spot for Seattle. I know they lost to them earlier on in the year. I just think their defense will do enough in this game, and they will be able to score on Seattle. I think Walker's going to have a big game. And your boy Barner, I think they've been attacking with the tight end. That's one thing, Gabe, about San Francisco that's concerning. Like, Chicago scored at will against those guys, and I think Seattle's offense will do enough, and their defense will just stop San Francisco, Seattle by 3 or 4 points in this game.
From a fan perspective, I would rather Seattle. Like, I like Seattle better than San Francisco. I've got a soft spot in my heart for the Seattle Seahawks, although I'm not a 49ers hater either. But I think the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl. Or they're going to make the Super Bowl, and they could win it, Cam. Yeah, like, I'm all in.
It's in their backyard, too.
They win this game. They don't leave. They just played at home. Now they play at home again. They win this game. They get a bye week. They play two games at home. Then they get a bye week, and they play in the Super Bowl at home. Like, it really sets up well for them, man. Brock Purdy's a stud. Like, you know, I think, like you said, Seattle's defense is great. Good point. Seattle's defense is great. Everybody just saw San Francisco's defense get carved up, and San Francisco have a ton of injuries. But the thing is, they've had a ton of injuries all year.
It's true.
And, like, here we are. Like, all year, people said, oh, San Francisco, it's too bad they have all the injuries. They're winning anyways. And it's almost like Shanahan, like, they're one of those teams. They're almost leaf-like, Cam, to me, the Niners. All the years, Cam, every effing year, man, every year, people think San Francisco are going to win the Super Bowl. They could be 2-10, and people think, oh, they'll come back. They're the Niners. They're going to make the playoffs. People kind of gave up on them this year and the last 2 years. People are like, people moved on. They missed their chance. It's that case, Cam, where now no one's talking about them.
Yeah, other than Niners fans who think they're going to win all the time.
Yeah, besides, who gets mad. Well, they are you can't deny it. They're probably the most hardcore fans.
Oh, it's unreal. Nuts. Like, even guys I know, some of my best
Bill's
friends
Mafia,
are Niners fans.
We're dedicated to stuff, but Niner fans get angry. Like, Bills fans get sad. Yeah, Niner Nation, they're nut jobs, Cam. Like, they're new Raider Nation. I told you that years ago.
And friendly guys that you've met. Like, I have three really tight friends that you met, and these guys are angry all the time. Like with the Niners.
Like, your boy Vince, really nice guy. I bet you, like, if you started talking smack to him about the Niners, he'd punch you for real. Like,
I know.
They take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
their family. Like, they're like, I'm a Niner fan. Like, that's my... they love the Niners more than they love their own family. I'm telling you, they're hardcore. These people.
Vince had a couple, Gabe, and I started going, you know what? You're Niner fans. You guys are so cocky. Grab me. Say, hey, buddy, relax. We're cracking a couple jokes. Niner fans are, like you said it, like, they're not like Bills fans. Oh, we're going to lose, or, you know, woe is me. Like, they think every week that they're going to pound the crap out of whoever they play. They are hardcore. I'm just saying one thing, San Francisco, these injuries. This is interesting, and Seattle's a hell of a lot different than they were in week one in this spot. It is, but to your point, the lines makers, this game should be maybe, you know, Seattle getting 1.5. The original line is probably the right line, but I still think Seattle wins.
And I didn't even bring up Sam Darnold.
Yeah. So. This is the thing about Sam Darnold is, Gabe, and the problem is he gives people fodder every week. It's like, dude, just don't make a bad play or don't throw an interception.
He makes a lot of nice throws, Cam. He's really good at the
bombs,
great.
Too.
He's great at the slant, the quick drop back over the middle, in the traffic even. Like, he's got this down. Like, he throws his fastball.
To JSN. Like, his little quick 1-2-3 bang is perfect.
So perfect. He makes these like really good throws that like a lot of NFL quarterbacks can't make. And like Cam said, he throws a nice deep ball, but it happens. It seems to like happen all the time as the season goes on. It's like this December thing where suddenly there's a what the hell are you thinking moment. And then now we're getting into they're happening a couple of times a game now again, right? And, you saw Cam. He dodged a lot of bullets last week.
Oh, big time.
Like, there he was turning the ball over, overturned, this, that. He got lucky a lot of times. Like, he nearly turned it over, like, four or five times. Like,
game?
He did everything to allow Carolina to stay in the game.
I watch a lot of tape, and I tape all the Seahawks games, and I watch them again. You know what his problem is? And you know this, too. We cover football left, right, and center. He has problems with complex zone schemes. When teams, just like the Rams, play these zones where they have, like, floating guys with the safety, he's like, and then he has like this brain meld, and then that's when the ball gets picked. If he has one-on-one coverage on the outside, he throws that ball. Kupp can make a play. JSN can make a play. Barner can make a play. The problem is when teams play soft, weird, complex zones, his mind goes, why? Like, take a look at the interceptions, Morency, versus the Rams. It's always that same type of blinded coverage. You know what I'm saying? Like trick coverage where they step back. One-on-one, he's fine. He has problems with zones.
Well, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be throwing everything that they have at them because the number one seed is on the line. Loser will fall to the five seed. Basically, the teams on Saturday are all intertwined, like Carolina, Tampa Bay, Seattle, San Francisco, in the sense that the winner of Seattle and San Francisco is going to be the one seed and have a bye, and the loser is going to play the winner of Carolina and Tampa, except with Atlanta, like suddenly getting good late again. And this is stupid. They got stupid tiebreaker rules, but if Atlanta wins, like Tampa could get like knocked out still. Like they need Atlanta to lose. Cause if Atlanta beats New Orleans, Cam, it changes the tiebreaker percentages of the conference and division record, which is just stupid, right? That it'll affect it like that, but it does. So Tampa, like, not only need to win, they need Atlanta not to win. They're in a weird spot suddenly.
Who do you like there?
I actually think Carolina missed their opportunity and Tampa will win.
I agree with you 100%.
They had two chances to make to win a division. They screwed it up.
It's Carolina. Hard to back these guys up, Kate, but you're giving a cat with 9, 10, 11 lives. Like, eventually
Tampa Bay is going to figure it out. They're 1-7 in their last eight games.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good point. It's their ninth life. They've been given one last shot, and they can do it. They just need to win one game. You can do this. The thing with Carolina is they're not – Carolina are better at home. Carolina are, like, dangerous at home, and they're good at home. They're kind of flaky on the road. I don't think Tampa aren't that good suddenly. It's Baker Mayfield, Cam. It's weird, too, because Tampa actually had so many injuries, and they got a lot of guys back on offense, and they're still not good. Baker Mayfield is, like, I don't know what it is. Like, whatever.
He runs out of gas.
He's having a bad, progresses. Like, 2 months right now.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, it's been 2 months. He's hit a wall.
They hung it. Yeah, he has. And I'll tell you,
though, he's hurt. I think he's hurt.
I agree with you. But in the last game, Gabe, he almost took the team on his back in that Carolina game. They were driving to go in for the win, and Mike Evans slipped and fell, and the ball got picked. It was like, what else can go wrong for this team? But the thing is, I think Baker Mayfield, he's that type of guy. He will grind them out. They will find a way to win this game. And you said it, Carolina, you had many chances to make the playoffs, and now you put yourself in a bad spot. I like the Bucs.
I think the Bucs will win, and then whatever, they're going to lose against the Seahawks or the Rams, the 49ers, anyways, in the playoff game after. So it's kind of all irrelevant. And finally, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. What's your pick, Cam? The Baltimore Ravens are 3.5-point road favorites at Pittsburgh.
Gabe,
Steelers
aren't
getting any respect.
I know this sounds crazy. I love the Steelers this week. And I thought about this game, and I'm like, you're giving me 3.5? I'm going to take it. I think they can win the game.
Yeah, I don't understand the point spread. This should be a pick'em.
Yeah, and people remember, the Steelers against the Browns. Yeah, you're going on the road against Myles Garrett looking for a record, and Shadur's been playing better, and Cleveland's defense is good.
No, Baltimore, the Browns are good at home against good teams.
Yes.
It's a weird thing.
Yes.
It's true. Like, guys, if you look – the Browns, the Bills covered against the Bills beat them, but they covered. If you look at like the past couple of years, the Browns have a lot of good home wins against good teams. They suck as a whole, but the Browns do get fired up. You knew they're going to be fired up. I took the Browns last week. Yep, like you said, too. People have just dismissed like the Steelers in this game completely.
The Steelers are Jekyll and Hyde. They play bad, they play good. They play bad, they play good.
They're just not the same without DK Metcalf.
I agree with that. But remember what people are like, oh, yeah, Henry had one game. That's one game, Baltimore. And Green Bay is so damn beat up. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's a total disrespect line, Gabe. We're reading each other's mail again. It's the Steelers. I think they can win. I'll definitely take the 3.5.
Yeah, I'm not in love with the Steelers here because I think they got flaws. But I do agree with Cam. It's a big overreaction, whatever. Like, it was a bad spot for them last week. Every sort of sharp, wise guy, whatever. Everybody knew. Guys, Cleveland were only getting 3 points. There was a reason for it. Everyone knew Cleveland were going to win this game. And they did. And they did. Now this is different. Listen, this is sort of one of these cases where, once again, if the Baltimore Ravens were getting 3.5 points, I would take the Baltimore Ravens here. The Steelers happen to be the ones getting 3.5 points. And I'm like, man, I'm looking at the underdog here. But happy new year to everybody. Thanks to everyone listening to the podcast. You know, as we stated, like, I know that it's New Year's Eve and all this, so people are going to listen to the podcast later in the week. That's why we focused in on the National Football League. We will be on live New Year's Day, Oregon and Texas Tech. Cam likes Texas Tech. I'm on the Ducks. We're going head to head. In this football game, we got the Rose Bowl and we got the Sugar Bowl tomorrow night as well. So happy New Year, Cam. We'll catch you on New Year's Day. Happy New Year's to all the Rageaholics out there. And thanks for tuning into the podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.